What up, everyone? It's Tweak or Gavin.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on, everyone? It is Haz or Matt. How's everyone going? How's everyone doing today? Good to see the two of you. Obviously, not going to have Marcus this week. Unfortunately, you can't make it. But we're going to press on. Keep going here. Tweak Talks. Or, dude, we are closing in like 150 episodes, right? We got to be pretty damn close at this point. I just lost track. Like, I used to know it week by week, every week. Now it's like, dude, it's just another one. Like, I don't know. After we hit 100, kind of got on a hot streak there. What's going on, guys?
Office.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Just stopped streaming. I was practicing. I have like a couple tournaments coming up that are like kind of back to back. And yeah, what about you, Charles?
I'm doing good. I actually was watching your stream. It's pretty crazy how you switch between Diddy and Sephiroth, and they're just so different. You know what I mean? Like in terms of just the pacing you have to play, and then what really impressed me about your Sephiroth was just like how you played out boxing scenarios. I mean, there's so many times where someone's like spot dodging in your face or mashing in your face, and like the best thing you could do is like, and now I roll out or something like that. Which is
I'm not buying this shit after what you said about Sephiroth last episode, man. You're like, actually,
enjoy how someone plays the character. Like, I still think the character's shit, but
he's wrong.
I mean, obviously, the character's shit if you're
he is wrong.
In scramble scenarios, and your best option is like,
not
when
to
do I roll out?
Yeah,
when do I disengage? Right, like. Other like at least like Korn and stuff have Nair out of shield and stuff like that, but I just wanted to say that it was impressive to watch you switch in between the two characters, because it's not like those two characters are just so different. So because like at least if you're playing someone like Cloud or something like that, there's out of shield, there's you have standard options, and then you can still play as quick as Diddy, maybe even faster with limit and stuff like that, right? But Sephiroth has way more limitations, especially without wing and stuff like that. So just want to say I can hate or at least like say a character is bad, but I can still appreciate a player trying to elevate said character that I think is not that great, right?
So Charles, we hate watching your streams, dude. I think that's what I heard right now.
I'm a fan of certain players, and that's why I get passionate when I say
I love it.
That's why I get passionate when I watch really talented players, and it feels like they're getting held back by their character choices. And I think that's a very common thing for any fan of a player as they're watching, right? And even it's not even about like, oh, I know what's best, or like, it's not even about that. It's just like, fuck, man, just anyone but that, you know what I mean? Or like at least someone a little bit higher than that on the tier list or what have you. But yeah, I mean, we did that whole discussion last week, so I don't want to make this week all about that. But yeah, we've been playing a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh too, different formats, GOAT, Edison.
Yeah, it's been like awesome, bro. It's been so awesome.
I had to show Tweak how to play Gear Town.
Yeah.
God damn it. These kids don't know about setting their field spell card and missing timings in Yu-Gi-Oh. Gotta tell them what's up, you know. But that getting into Yu-Gi-Oh with everyone.
I messed it up, like even after being told how to do it, and I had to look it up again. So you set Gear Town and then you set the next field spell. No, you play Gear Town face up and then you set the next field.
Correct,
dude.
Yeah, so I know it now.
The thing that gets me is I went from basically playing like GOAT format when it was relevant to playing modern Yu-Gi-Oh on the app, and it's just like, what is happening? Like what is going on right now? It's quite a weird
game. Yeah, it's kind of weird that I still prefer modern over everything else, even though I know it's like a mess. I still like it the most.
It's kind of cool. Once you just accept it, like you just need to deal with it. Like you just need to, it is what it is. Like it's gonna be insanity. Like you're gonna summon 18 monsters in one turn and that's it. Like the hardest thing.
Just read.
Well, I know, but it's a lot of reading. Get into Yu-Gi-Oh! Start reading cards, bro.
I read books every day, bro. I'm over.
You do, actually.
Gavin competes in Ultimate at the highest level, bro. Modern Yu-Gi-Oh! Whatever, man. I think he's seen a lot more horseshit.
All I have to do is read and accept that I lose. That's way easier than physically inputting everything and losing.
Well, if you're playing against Hero, though, then you have to read and you might lose. So think about it.
The funniest thing about that, I'm so bad at paying attention to like Steve's resources.
Heroes. Tell people this shit. You have tournaments coming up. Fix it.
Like Heroes menu. Like, but I'll read Yu-Gi-Oh for like an hour in one match. Like, when you're actively playing and moving around, like it's hard to look at the bottom of the screen. Like, genuinely, it's impressive for people who can play really well while. Because there's a difference between looking at like something once in a while and you have to and looking at the whole match.
I thought that was so cool when Hero was introduced, that it was essentially a brand new skill set introduced into Smash, like the speed reading or like the cheats to like look for the longer set of text or letters or whatever it is. Like it's really cool. Yeah, exactly. Like it's a matchup thing, but also like, you know, how it's like a real life skill thing. Like how fast can you read stuff? It was kind of crazy when he got introduced, amongst the other things we were worried about with that character, just the raw reading speed you had to deal with. So
that's the interesting thing about Hero 2 is because of all the manipulation, like when you use one spell, you don't really expect it or like it can't be in the next rotation. Like he has a lot more of a natural flow to him, despite being such a chaotic character. It's really not like he really does flow in a way you would expect. Like, you know when he's going to look for buffs, you know when he's going to do X or Y option. Like,
it's crazy too, because I think in terms of bringing a JRPG to Smash, they knocked it out of the park. Dude. Obviously, for competition, it's a little frustrating because of language barriers and stuff like that. So that for global competition, it adds a very unique curveball. And I mean, that's on TOs to like which version of the game is being played for which players and stuff like that. Usually it's whatever home turf is, right? That's the language that you have to kind of deal with. Yeah. So it sucks for Hero players that globally compete. But just in the world of casual Smash, Sakurai and the team knocked it out of park in terms of like bringing a JRPG character into Smash. And it's not like the same menu every time. And there's like super deep stuff too. Like you only get 2 heals per stock. You can't get a buff that you already got. So even sometimes you'll see heroes like get bounced in a matchup that they don't necessarily reflect anything.
Yeah, or heal at 0, like stuff like that.
Yeah, heal at 0 just to get heal out of the pool and stuff like that. He has a flow
that makes sense in a Smash way if you pay attention. But the big thing for me, you were mentioning like the like JRPG, like they kind of nailed it. And B's been a big Dragon Quest fan the last like year or so, and she's played 11 and she played 4. I might be getting the number wrong for the second game she played, but she's such a huge fan of Dragon Quest now that like she's given me a lot of knowledge on the actual game and the series. And, you know, as a Diddy player, and even Sephiroth, I think, has a hard time with Hero. I'm not going to lie. I hate fighting Hero, but I'm starting to respect it and appreciate the character. Like we were all just talking about, like, and as he developed, like, he's really not just this like chaotic mess. Like he, like I keep repeating it, but he definitely flows in a way that makes sense with like looking for buffs and looking for certain moves and everything we were mentioning with manipulating the menu, that it doesn't feel like snap and you lose or something like that. It can happen like that, but there's more like it's more in your control than you think.
As often when characters come out, everyone kind of assumes the worst case scenario. Like everyone thought Hero would run away and farm healing, right? And it's RNG. Yeah. So not only are you farming healing, but you're farming grow big and like all that other stuff that ended up being, you know, different parts of the menu and how it works. So like Charles said, it was a good combo of obviously the casual aspect of building the character is so fun. Like I think everyone says Hero is like one of the most fun characters in the game, period. Obviously not from a competitive standpoint, but just like playing as him with items on and just adding that random element to a character specifically is super fun. And then the other part of it is having Hero with that randomness and having him built into the competitive play, like we said, brings this whole new skill set to the character and to what we have to look for, which is really interesting and fun. And not something we expected a lot out of Ultimate, not a damn reading test. You know what I'm saying? Like comprehension 101, like it just wasn't in there. And it's just, the game always keeps you guessing. And it's just one of my favorite things about Smash. And I saw recently there was a tweet about like, can't wait for like Smash reveal trailers to come back and like people reacting to them and stuff. I was it is the best part of being a Smash fan or being in the competitive scene specifically with so many. It's not just like that we get new characters in the competitive scene and to play with and to play against, but it's just everybody is so excited for it. And you are so in the mix.
One more time in my life. I just want that a couple year period one more time. Please, just one more time, and then it could be the last hurrah.
Punch but out, like, yep.
I know Ultimate is crazy and everything, but I need it one more time, and I probably won't even be satisfied, to be honest.
Want it one more time after.
Yeah, but please, one more time. Like, I need it. I need it.
Well, I'm going to do this one more time and many more times. And I just got to show real quick, guys, before we even get into the depths of this episode, just make sure that if you guys are enjoying the content, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Today's Patreon topic is going to be what are fundies. This is a fun topic that we did over at Coach's Corner as well on Smash University. So I thought we would do that here as well for Patreon content. That's going to be super fun and interesting. In the comments below, please let me know what you guys think fundies are. Really interested to hear your guys' opinion. Obviously, it's been a hot topic on Smash Twitter, so we're going to be going over that on the Patreon. And that is the best way you can directly support the podcast. So we appreciate anyone who's been supporting the Patreon now, or if you've been, you know, supporting ever since the beginning. It helps us a ton.
Yeah, we love our patrons for sure. We love all the listeners, but especially the patrons, as I know, which we especially, say before. Yeah, for sure. What was I going to say on that regard? Yeah, the fundies question, I think, is a really good time. But yeah, thanks everyone for liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. We're in for a good episode today. We're excited. You have a big tournament coming up this weekend, Gavin. And I'll be honest, I've been so busy recently, I didn't keep up with it. I don't really know where the tournament is and what it's all about. And you were about to tell me before we started. I was like, look, let me just ask the question so that people can get every answer they want about this tournament coming up. You got the LG Smash Invitational, the first of its kind, right? I don't think we've had an LG Smash Invitational. And it's upcoming this weekend, and it's a one-day event, right? And it's in Florida. This is like just kind of some of the details I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a one-day tournament on the 20th, I believe. And so I'm actually leaving on a Friday, which is pretty unusual for tournament travel. But we're going to be doing some content a day or two before. And then we're going to be doing like round robin pools on Saturday and just, yeah, I think all the players were just recently announced either today or yesterday, whenever you're watching this, it might be something else, but there's Sonix, Shattuck, Meister, Riddles, Mars, myself, Light, Leo, DeBuzz, and HBox. So it's a bit of a small one, but and it's one day, but it's definitely exciting. And it's like Has said, it's the first of its kind.
Dang. Wait, so it's only one day. So, and I always think this with invitationals, I know the rest of the community does after working through the full planning process of Watch a Throne. Are there going to be skits? Like, is that a thing? Or are you, I don't know if that's like a thing you're going to say.
I don't know what they're going to be for sure, but we're definitely recording stuff. So I'm assuming it'll be at least something along those lines. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. If they do round robin pools, then I assume players would have to be eliminated from them or something like that. Because if it's only one day, it's got to be pretty quick. And doing pools obviously takes more time than just running a bracket, right? So I don't know exactly what the format is, but one day is not a ton of time compared to previous invitationals we've had, like Beyond the Summit and Watch the Throne, where there's 3 days, three whole days of play. So
there's only 10.
I mean, obviously, no gauntlet phase, right? I would assume if they. I'm just interested in the format they decide to go with.
Yeah, it's only 10 players. Yeah. Maybe it's doable, but.
We'll see. True. Less players. Okay.
How do you. And obviously, it's a pretty unique format when it comes to an invitational. And not that invitationals are strangers to having longer days and longer brackets and set up pools and all this other stuff. So, how do you prepare for something like this? Like you said, you're only getting there on a Friday and. What is your idea to prepare for this tournament and do your best to be ready?
I think there is some benefits to it being an invitational. You know, this, like the people running the event, it'll be kind of easier to take care of like the player pool, and like there's going to be food around, and like it's a little bit more comfortable in that type of vibe because it's not just like a general venue or something. So I think it'll be a little bit easier for me to take care of myself physically, but you kind of know everyone there. So like there's a comfortable energy to it. So I think that for me as a person usually helps me play better. I feel like it's a 50-50. I might play worse than usual or I might play better than usual, just depending on the moments leading up into the bracket. But yeah, I'm not doing anything specific to prepare. It's a smaller pool of players, though, so I can mentally be ready to play the players that are there, and there's not going to be anything too surprising when it's all said and done. So, you know, it's kind of easy to warm up and everything. The scheduling is usually pretty clear, because if it's not, it'll probably be too difficult for anyone to run the event. So, yeah.
Wait, one other thing.
A surprising one. Sorry to cut you off.
There you go.
I think people are excited to see Mars play. So.
Yeah, they always are, man.
Yeah.
I think his last tournament was the French tournament that he went to, right?
Yeah, the tournaments he is at is always like a bit surprising. Like, it's not the expected tournaments for players to be at. He's always like a jump scare, to be honest.
That's a good way to put it. Personality-wise and player-wise, true.
Yeah, he just appears once in a while, so it's good to see him. Like, I was streaming today, and he was the player everyone was most excited to see in my chat today, so.
I mean, he's nice. So entertaining to watch, so, I mean, yeah. Just like, his play style is just really sick.
Yeah.
That's my guy. My big three's going to be there. You, yeah. Light, and Mars, man. I'm excited, obviously. Charles, you're not going to
throw a curveball there as a joke. I really thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Light, Mars, and. I don't know. Termy. There you go. W Termy. I was going to say, Charles, you're not. Are you going?
I am not going, no.
Me neither.
I'm assuming I'm going to be seeing EE and Coney. At least EE.
And Max, fair. Yeah. I mean, I assume any LG caster will be there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to see if there's a card shop nearby and see if I can find the time.
Oh my god.
Just sneak away for like an hour and see if
you're there for one day. What 1 hour is 1/24th of your time there.
That's why it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to see if I can pull it off.
At least you admit it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Impossible. Yep. Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh! Heist. Grandpa Moto Shop. It'll never be the same. Yeah, man, I'm excited because I was a little disconnected from Smash this weekend. So I'm excited to die. There are so many tournaments coming up this weekend. Yeah, I think the LG
end
Smash
of April competition specifically seems kind of crazy, or like middle of April, I guess.
Yeah, it's coming up, man. We're coming back. I can't wait for MomoCon.
Yeah,
that's what I'm here for. Are you going to that, or you're not sure?
I would like to, but I haven't physically gotten any travel stuff. But I if I am, I should probably handle that soon.
Yeah, I do too. Let's figure that out.
Yeah,
we get a chance. Hey, also, we didn't wish you a happy birthday last week on the podcast, so we need to wish you a happy birthday. It was in between episodes, though, so.
Did we do one? Like, after my birthday?
This is it. This is the most recent one after your birthday.
I figured, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You have a good birthday.
Happy birthday.
Appreciate it.
Say it like that.
26 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Bro's looking like Thousand Dragon.
It's time to hang it up, bro.
That is turbo not true. Look at what LeBron's doing. You're fine. You got plenty of time.
LeBron can do it, bro. You're fine.
LeBron,
exactly.
If LeBron has to be my inspiration, I know I'm getting older.
Dude, the LeBron you can
pick KD.
KD's a couple years younger. I'll take that.
Yeah, you're still getting old, but
they'll probably retire around the same time, though.
That's crazy. You think so?
Knowing LeBron, like, and KD has like more like injuries. Then LeBron too. We'll see. I would like to see none of them retire ever.
It happens, dude. Oh my god, you haven't been through like the first great retirement of like the NBA, like of your favorite sport yet. Oh my god, you got plenty of time left, dude.
LeBron retiring just sounds like such a world like shift that like I'm scared. Like, what happens to life as we know it when he's not playing every night, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, right. Like, you love or hate him, he's so entertaining, or like he is the story so many times. Yeah. I hope they have a good run of the playoffs, man. I really do, but we'll see how that goes.
Starting tonight.
That's right.
We got Kings versus Warriors playing match.
Magic, right?
The loser of that is eliminated. And then we got Lakers Pelicans, and the winner is the seventh seed, and the loser has to play the winner of Warriors Kings, I believe. So, yeah, we got Zion, LeBron, we got Steph versus like De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. It's kind of crazy that these are play-in teams because they've had some success, whether it's this season or in the last couple years.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to watch playoff basketball. I've been thinking about it since the moment I woke up today. So.
Nice, dude. Yeah, the Thunder clinched the number one seed, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure they did, yeah.
Denver and OKC tied in record, but OKC has the head-to-head on Denver, so they're the first seed in the West.
Which is wild.
And the Knicks kind of stole the second seed because they've just been a really good team this season. And Giannis, actually, for the Bucks, who were like the second seed most of the season, he might not start. He might not play in the beginning of the playoffs, which is concerning. So, and yeah, I'm a Sixers fan, and Embiid's back.
They're heating up.
We won like 7 or 8 games in a row or something. I might be wrong on the number, but we have not lost since Embiid came back. I'll say that. And he was gone since January. So, and we're a play-in team versus Miami. I think I forget the date of that one. That's, you'll be watching it. So April 17th, Wednesday is when that game happens. So
it's tomorrow or today if you're listening to the podcast as it comes out. So yeah, I'm excited too, man. I love, there are a couple sports where I love like almost all sports playoffs. Like I think they're so entertaining, but specifically basketball and hockey are just like on such another level than how invested I am in the regular season. Like I love playoff baseball. The thing with it is I've watched every Yankees game so far this year, and when they're not on, I watch other teams. So I'm just like always watching or digesting baseball stuff. So I'll obviously watch all the playoffs. But with basketball and hockey, I'm a little less interested in the regular season. But when the playoffs come around, man, those sports are so fun to watch. And obviously football is so easy to watch the playoffs on because, like, you know, it's not that much. It's not that much of a commitment, but it is very entertaining. So playoff sports, dude. We're getting to, like, my favorite part in the sports here. Like, we're really – baseball's picking up, which is amazing. Obviously, playoff basketball's going. Hockey's like really heating up, and then obviously coming to the end, football is going to start in the fall. So I love where we are all the way through the fall. Basically, I'm saying I like baseball season. So
something, another big thing that I've been doing that I haven't talked about on the show is B and I are actually finally selling our cards online through a TCG player.
Yo, throw the plug in.
Yeah.
Actually, true.
Well, first off, I've been like off and on with Metafy, and I haven't really said it on my stream or podcast, but I actually am back on Metafy. If anyone is interested in booking a lesson with me, I am on Metafy again. But yeah, we've been selling Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon cards on TCG Player. And the first day was such a success. We really appreciate all the support. Since we're a new account, we can't list as many items as we would like to. As the account progresses, we'll be able to list more items. And we're kind of doing it by like product, like by Pokemon set. So we're kind of slowly listing all of our stuff. And it's been great. B's really good at this kind of thing. She already does a lot of work when it comes to like shipping orders. I actually dropped off all the yesterday's orders at the post office today. So it's been fantastic. Like it truly is like something I'm passionate about, and this is honestly like amazing. Like yesterday I was so happy. Like not only were we actually like listing things online, like people were actually buying stuff, and we were packing the orders up, and like B's running the social media, and everyone's like supporting that. Like it's been great. And we've been opening stuff on stream more as well. A lot of the time we're kind of private about this hobby, but we've kind of gone all out on selling and opening stuff on stream, and everyone's been really supportive. So thank you.
It's definitely one of those things, like collecting cards and stuff, that's in you and be like the Venn diagram for you guys, where it just crosses over into your interest so well. And I'm really happy to see you guys like take off with it and do something with it, which is cool. Cause I know you guys.
So
what's that?
We've always talked about the TCG player, like selling cards thing. And we just never went through with it because it's not as easy as just doing it.
So. It seems easy, but yeah, there's more to it. Like you said, the shipping and making sure you get the, I don't know, you ship it correctly, then package it safely and do all that stuff. Like, yeah, there's a lot to, it's a lot. So yeah, it's cool. It's a good idea.
The first time I visited Gavin's place when he was living by himself, and just, there's this huge, there's not cards everywhere. It wasn't like badly organized.
You already said he's living by himself. We know what he was doing.
No, he actually had his cards pretty organized, but then there's this one humongous stack. There's this one humongous stack. I was like, what's that? And he was like, oh, those are all of like my duplicates, triples, quadruples, whatever. Because he had master sets of stuff, right? Of card sets in his binder. And I was like, what? And I'm like going through and I'm like, whoa, a lot of these cards are kind of expensive. He's like, some of them are, some of them aren't, but like just the sheer amount of duplicates plus kind of thing, that stack was just insane. So that was like before I even joined TSM, or maybe like right as I joined TSM, which was so long ago. And he was talking about selling stuff back then. Yeah. So that was quite a while ago. And I'm really glad that UNB kind of like finally took the step forward and, you know, put your guys self out there in terms of like selling stuff, selling the cards and all that. I know just taking that initial step is probably the hardest part.
Yeah, it is. We're a little bit more knowledgeable now, and like, yeah, that was a cool story. But yeah, B's really good at a lot of it, like marketing things, and like, you know, she does a lot of like orders with like, she has like a sticker club Patreon thing. She does a lot of art stuff, and she's getting into charms. So like, it's very adjacent to what we're doing. So that helped a lot. She had all like the stuff we needed, like a printer and like labels and like envelopes. So like, it really jump started it once we like just went through with listing things. And that's why I said we're kind of starting out slowly with everything by like product, because we have a lot of stuff. So it's kind of just getting started, especially with like some of the stuff that I know people would like to buy. So it's really exciting. But we basically dedicated our whole day to it yesterday. So I got to be ready to put in the work, basically.
Nice, nice. I mean, I'm glad all that stuff is going great.
Yeah.
And I mean, you guys seem super, I'm not super into sports, but it seems like you guys are pretty excited about it too. But
yeah,
we are a Smash podcast, so let me reel it back in. I want to start things off with just talking about Pikachu and Shiny Mark. I know last episode I went on a really long rant overall, so we didn't really get to talk about it. Oh, we got to play a little catch up.
Went on a long rant? Hold on a second.
I kind of went off. All right.
You did. I love it though. Everyone loves when you do that shit. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, Shiny Mark did amazing. That's the first player slash like character I want to talk about. I think Pikachu is in general has had a lot of controversy in terms of like where the characters on the tier list. I know really, really early Ultimate, I was along with some other people, but I definitely thought really early in Ultimate that Pikachu was very powerful, that Pikachu was very underutilized. There was a lot of things. I mean, I even kind of dabbled with the character for a couple of months, and I was like, man, I have, and it wasn't about me necessarily like beating other players, or like I would fight, like I would play with other, especially like in the first year or two of Ultimate, I played with a lot of top players. I wasn't necessarily a top player, but I played with a lot of other top players. And when I played Pikachu, it made me raise an eyebrow, because I was like, man, I have so many chances to win. My execution might not be there yet, or my offense might not be as good as like someone like Esam, who obviously can take a hit and push it really far. But I can still see when a character gets a lot of chances to reset back to neutral and abuse things like quick attack and mobility and stuff like that, that those are things I value, right? So I've always thought the character was really strong. Obviously, the game's very different from the first like couple years of the game. People learned how to SDI and stuff like that, so you can't like quadruple back air into like an edge guard. You might get like one or two back airs, but Pikachus usually have to convert more into like sour up air or find some kind of other conversion after the back air. But this character, I still think, has a good chance of the meta. Another thing that I thought was very underutilized, since a lot of the Pikachu's early part of the meta would only go out for edge guards, or would usually go out for ledge guards, and ledge trapping with Pikachu was like forward smashing by roll. That was like the thing you did, right? Or you would catch ledge jump with fair. I always thought that setting up T-Jolt, because T-Jolt is a very unique projectile that can go through someone that is intangible, and then like as they're running out of intangibility, if their lower part of their hitbox is overlapping with T-Jolt, they'll take damage and get hit off the ledge, right? And then if they grab ledge immediately right after, they're not going to have a lot of intangibility because the airtime is low. And kind of like, these are all things that I thought Pikachu players could optimize, and just the defensive side of Pikachu that we didn't really see much of, because Esam was the best Pikachu then, and he was like all offense or mostly offense. So I always wanted to see the defensive side of Pikachu being optimized, and Shiny Mark is exactly that. And I'm assuming players might not like watching, or the audience might not like watching Shiny Mark because he's defensive. I love Shiny Mark. He's one of my favorite players to watch because of how he's optimizing the defensive play. And he also has sick edgeguarding. It's not like he only goes for timeouts and stuff. He still pushes characters really hard off stage.
He has to do. He does what he has to do for sure.
Yeah, and he's so good at edge guarding at like resetting. I felt like Isam was very good at getting the coin toss and like going for the all ins. But I love how Shiny Mark will like get a couple hits off stage, automatically. Oh shit! Automatically reset back to ledge with quick attack, and then like go from there, right? And just slowly strain out someone's resources. And then on top of that, he's really good at balancing, like, okay, I'm not gonna go for this edge guard. I'm gonna set up T-jolt by roll. Like he'll jump, fade back, set up the T-jolt. So the T-jolt will hit them if they stay on the ledge, which is gonna force a ledge timing. And like Tweak has said many times, if you can force the timing of someone's ledge option, all you gotta do is react from there. And most of these top players have the reaction to do that, right? So it was so sick to watch Shiny Mark do that. And then watching, there's something very satisfying about watching a Pikachu player time out Fighter Pass 2. Like timing out Steve, really abusing the fact that Steve has very low mobility. A lot of people or a lot of the community thought Steve was pretty bad right off the rip because we didn't know about all the crazy tech. We didn't know how disruptive walls were going to be, right? Like we didn't really know what Steve did, and Steve came out during quarantine, so we only had online tournaments and the character's meta wasn't really pushed in an offline environment, right? So we just didn't really know what the character did. We didn't know about like nilling and all the crazy damage output and all that other stuff. Yeah. So it's really cool to see Shiny Mark abuse the first layer of what we thought Steve was going to be bad at, which is just trying to keep up with the character, right? And the fact that T-jolts go over terrain, right? So it goes over the any kind of block formation, and you can get a lot of cool setups from that as well. Shiny Mark's also very good at like just knocking down the bottom block with really safe down tilts and then going from there. The way Shiny Mark dismantles Steve is it's just surgical, and it's very precise, and there's so much intention in every single one of his movements. It's so fun to watch, and it's just a shame that I think Shiny Mark's in the same position that Sonic's was maybe like 3-4 years ago when Sonic's just was so good, but we didn't really get to see him as often because he just didn't have the resources to travel out. I think Shiny Mark's in that same boat. I think Shiny Mark could easily be a top 10 player, maybe even more with more experience, right? But we just don't get to see him compete as much because he, I don't know whether it's like time or money or maybe a combination of both that he can't make it out to all these majors, but obviously it's a huge investment to fly out, right? To any like fly out of your country, get a hotel for, you know, like 4 days or what have you, 3 or 4 days, because most tournaments are a weekend long. So I would like to see Shiny Mark compete more, but that's just, you know, me being a greedy fan. I just want to see him compete more, but obviously it just depends on what his resources are. But and it is amazing to see Shiny Mark optimize this character. And it also, as someone that's older and kind of clings on to some of the things that, like, what I want to see in Ultimate, I want to see characters personally that are strong towards the beginning of the meta, just because it, maybe it's a nostalgia thing. Maybe it's just me, like, seeing things that I value over what's strong now, like, you know, Steve, Game & Watch, these are things that are really strong now that weren't as strong before. We didn't know that they were that strong, particularly Game & Watch. But it's cool to see the things you value and it being executed. And it kind of like validates your, I don't know, maybe opinion of Smash. It's kind of hard for me to word this.
Your Smash worldview.
Yeah, kind of like that. So it's, I'm eating good every time I see Pikachu win a tournament or get really far or defeat the current meta, right? Stuff like that. Because there's so many other players / character communities that are still trying to figure out how to beat Steve because he's so restrictive, right? Because, you know, a character that builds terrain is something completely new, and Steve being able to build terrain and power yourself up is such a insane combo. And I know, I love the way Tweak worded this when, people say like, oh, Steve has no mobility, which is true. Steve has very little mobility, but like minecart's pretty decent. And the ability to essentially choke out or restrict other characters' mobility, it is kind of mobility in itself, right? Or at least you're counteracting other characters' mobility. But I think Pikachu is one of the most mobile characters and has a specific projectile So a very specific projectile that works well against Steve Wall. So it's crazy that it's like, oh, okay, well, usually other characters' mobilities are so restricted because of the terrain, but Pikachu bypassed that because Pikachu, I can't really think of a character more mobile than Pikachu. Maybe you could argue like ZSS or something like that, but if not the most mobile, one of the most mobile characters in the game with one of the most perfect projectiles. Like, I think every character would want T-Jolt versus Steve, right? Or like a Cloudbacker. It's just such a great answer to Steve. So yeah, I was a huge fan of watching Shiny Marks run.
I love that. One thing he does, I see him a lot because he does well at Coinbox too, which I think is a really good indicator for how a player can do and will do at offline tournaments as well. People who win Coinboxes, you think of Spargo, you think of Sonics immediately. Players who do well there typically do well offline, which obviously we see from Shiny Mark a lot. I felt like we were seeing him more last year too, though, Charles. I don't know if something came up or whatever, but like you, I'm happy to see him do well too. It made me feel validated because I hated playing against Pikachu for the longest time. I still do, obviously. My characters get wrecked by him, but it's just good to see the character perform at that level, especially because I feel like he falls into that category of like Mr. Potential, like Shulk in a way, where it's like everyone knows Pikachu's nasty, but like it's really hard to see consistently at a top level between him and Esam not attending as much recently, right? I think the other piece too about Steven is mobility. Bro, he can move while he's he can attack while he's moving too, which I think it's not about the fact that he can't move, which is obviously always going to be a factor. But like you said, it's about the other X factors that come into play. Bro, he can't move that much, but he'd be swinging the entire time. You know, and if you get hit by one of those, you're taking 80, you're taking 90. Like, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then with the terrain, he makes those specific swings more valuable, right? Like, oh, right. Okay, maybe you can low profile up tilt, but if there's a wall in front of you, well, if you have to go up and over the wall, holy shit, up tilt just became a whole lot better and he can also move into it. And even if he's moving slow while doing it, he's still moving and doing a move that should kill you zero to death. But, you know, Steve players don't want to lab it out. And then there's or if you drop the combo, it's OK. You do 60, or if you do a shitty version of the combo, you still do like 60 to 80. Right. And that's while moving. And if you hit someone's shield while doing it, just casually walk away and you're good as well. So it's like this move that's already crazy, you can use block to make it even more crazier in so many different scenarios, right? So
yeah, and the thing I'd say about Steve, like we were talking about Fire Pass Doom, we're all so worried about how Hero would go. We had all these fear about Steve, like, and they didn't come, you know, they didn't come true for a while. It took a little bit, but they're all here now is something I will point out. So we're not always, sometimes when we're doomers, it's for a good reason and because we're right, you know? And we were all, I guess we wouldn't call it doomers because we're all hoping Sephiroth would be good, but it's like the opposite effect too, right? Where we're like, oh, this looks so broken. His range is going to be crazy. Look at that neutral air, like all this stuff. Oh, trapping with the neutral B is going to be crazy. It's like, yeah, kind of, I guess. But with Steve, it was like, damn, this is this character could be a nightmare. And then it panned out that way, right? I love, and again, back to like the character trailer thing, the theory crafting around how things are going to work is so fun too, so.
I think there were some characters that were easier with our perception of what Smash was at the time to predict if they were really good. Like something like Steve or Hero is like, it'll have to click with you pretty quick for you to really know. Like it's hard to blame anyone for being wrong about certain characters, but like something like Aegis and Joker were so obvious.
Oh yeah, because that's a good point. Like, overtuned Smash character.
Yeah, right? They're Smash character, but everything they do is better than everyone else. But they're doing the same things.
They were familiar. It was like it's Sheik plus Ganon. That sounds pretty fucking crazy, right? When talking about Aegis or with Joker. Oh, it's DLC Sheik. Uh oh. With the comeback mechanic. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Ganon, man. Anything plus Ganon is a crazy modifier, huh?
It's pretty clear when you're playing the character for the first time, if you have like, you know, a lot of years under your belt as a Smash player and fan. But something like Steve, where it's like, it comes to a certain point where if you're not playing it, you're just leaving it up to the rest of the community to figure out whether it's like tier list placement or figuring the character out, like executing, like I'll leave that up to y'all. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm going to ignore this until I can't ignore it.
And you know what else was fun that I didn't get to talk too much about? The farewell Smash 4 coin box. That was a pretty fun watch.
You cast that, didn't you?
Yeah, I casted it. It was fun. Me, Strides, and HBox obviously was casting, so that was really fun. Bayonetta was banned, which I was kind of bummed out about. Yeah, and it's like it was Wi-Fi too, so I don't think Bayo is that good on Wi-Fi because you have to react to SDI. So, I mean, it is what it is, but it was still cool. And the funny thing is, something that Gavin always says. I think Sonic was a very, very good character in Smash 4, but Gavin, for a long time, like I'm talking like pre-quarantine, he's like, Ultimate Sonic's better than Smash 4 Sonic. It's even something that I thought was a little ludicrous. And I was like, man, that's you're just mad about, like, you know, playing up against Sonic and you hate the character and stuff like
that. Yeah.
And then after quarantine, I think everyone's kind of on the same boat that Sonic is at least top three. If you don't have him in your top three, it's kind of like, whoa, that's like a hot take nowadays, right?
Yeah.
But even watching Smash 4 Sonic, I think the neutral was better, but in Ultimate, his offense is just so crazy. I would see like a spin dash connect, and then like the Sonics would try to like Nair or Fair, and they'll fall out of the Fair, or Fair was just too weak, and they would be like living up to like 150, 160. I'm like, dang, man. Like, if that was Ultimate, you were just done. Like, you're just dead at 130 or something like that, right? So, and I always say this, I think one of the most broken confirms in the entire game of Ultimate is, I mean, excluding Electric into anything you want or, like, Steve up tilt, it's spin dash or spin charge into Fair. Because it drags you, you can get hit from a spin charge at, like, 130 center stage. And then it like drags you all the way out, and then they fair you, and then you're like, wait, why am I all the way this close to the blast zone? It's like fair, blah 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 blah, and then it's another multi hit that's dragging you closer to the blast zone. I'm like, dude, that shit is broken.
It's very good.
It is.
Yes. So it's plus it was the interesting movement
starts
kinda,
off of is ridiculous to start. You know what I mean? Spin dash, spin charge are obviously very, very good moves too.
And then watching everyone spot dodge in the Smash 4 tournament was hilarious. That shit was funny because everyone was, I mean, obviously they're gonna have ultimate happens, but it felt like it was the reverse.
All you gotta do is remember, you don't gotta spot dodge, just shoot.
You don't gotta spot dodge, bro, just roll instead or anything but spot dodge. But it's just funny because the first year of Ultimate was everyone applying Smash 4 tactics in Ultimate's engine, or at least like the first, you know, 3 to 6 months or whatever, right? And then this was me watching it in reverse where I'm seeing Ultimate tactics trying to be applied to Smash 4. So it was just really funny to see the reverse side of the coin. And it's crazy because Riddles, Pink mentioned this last week, but Riddles was trying out Cloud and actually played Ryu and Cloud in that tournament. And I believe Pink was saying that because Riddles tried out Cloud in Smash 4, he's like, maybe I should try him out in Ultimate. Yeah. Like that is such a crazy coincidence that it was Smash 4 Cloud that inspired Riddles to try out Cloud in Ultimate.
Yeah. Ultimate Cloud caught up, bro. Not like he's not quite as good as Smash 4 Cloud, but he's like a top tier now. So he wasn't always top tier in Ultimate. So
the buffs mattered a lot.
They did. They are very good buffs. That's the interesting thing about Sonic though, is he didn't really get buffs like that. So
Sonic and Game & Watch were always broken. We were just naive.
Yeah.
I think we're on Hopium, bro, is what it was. We're just they're bad. Don't try them, guys. Just don't pick those characters. They're bad. Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's not worth trying. Yeah. Play someone else. Yeah. Play Belmont. They're good. That was us in the beginning of the game.
No, I don't want anyone to play Belmont. What the heck?
You want one person to play Belmont? He's still doing it because of you. X Factor,
bro.
X Facts. It's fun.
Right, yeah, and Cosmos should play Inkling as well, right? Uh-oh.
Well, he's already playing a top tier, but sure, if he wants to pick up another one, he can.
Yeah, if he wants, but Aegis is broken, bro.
Yeah, Aegis.
I'm happy, bro. I'm happy to see Cosmos do better recently.
That last second W versus the Buzz was one for the history books for sure.
Legendary. Crazy.
Their hearts must have been going crazy in that game 5, bro.
Like, because he broke it down and lights out. He was like, well, in retrospect, I could have just side beat instead. I'm like, yeah, but dude, like, you got the W anyway. And obviously in that moment, like, there's no way, like, that you could calculate that or figure that out. Like, you still won. Like, that was good enough. But I guess the Buzz could have, like, shut Star. But it was crazy. It's crazy to look at moments like that. And they happen so fast in the moment. But then after when you're watching, you're like, damn, there could have been, like, 8 other things that happened. So I'm happy it's been more Clutchmos than Chokemos recently. I feel like he's just been getting too much hate. And he's a good dude and he's a good player.
Yeah, I think it's a weird
people turn around.
I think it's a weird like parasocial thing because his friends that will say things. and then like the community will like parrot the same like phrases or nicknames.
Oh, right, right.
You gotta be careful, yeah.
It doesn't really like, it's something I think Cosmos is a really stand up dude, because yeah. I wouldn't let people say that to me. I would bark.
Just like Termy.
I would fight back.
Channels enter Termy.
Bark just like Termy does.
Fight back, Kevin.
If I read that type of thing enough in my Twitch chat, like I would say something.
Oh back. Yeah. You'd ban people. You love banning people.
So it's just like no, B loves banning people.
B does love banning people.
The ban hammer.
I try to stop her from doing it. She's a little quick to ban people. I'm glad she's not here to hear that, because she's gonna say she's not, and that I'm just too nice. But
it's a good balance, is what I'd say. Between the two of you, that would be my feedback.
I think Cosmos is a really stand-up dude for showing up, competing, doesn't argue with anyone. Like me and Light will hate Aegis, and he will just take it in stride. Like it would get old for me very quick to hear people judge me in like a very rude parasocial way based on like friends talking to me. Like I would hate that. I would really hate that.
Yeah. I think in general, it's like a good lesson on like parasocial relationships and Smash Twitter and even this podcast or even their podcast. Like it's tough because you say or do one thing and then people either think like that's cool or like that's something I can also do and participate in, and or like they run with it and they have their own version of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. It's weird, man. Like
it's muddy very quickly. Yeah,
it can for sure. And I mean, like, you know, both podcasts have pretty good audiences. It's just, it's weird, man. I try not to think about it because it's just like, it's weird. It's just weird. I don't know how else to put it. Like, not that like the internet's a new thing, but just this idea or concept that, because I listen to a ton of podcasts too, you know, and I pick up things that they say and like apply them to my everyday life and think about them and do all that stuff or the way I approach life. So I guess like, I don't know, I guess what I'm saying is it's weird, and obviously there are bad parts to it, but it's also really cool. Like it's really cool to be connected to people who enjoy the same hobby or in the same niche social video game group as you and all that stuff. So appreciate you, chat. Always do. Always have. Don't be weird, though. I think that's like Mars's one rule, right? In his chat, it just says, don't be weird. Like, that's all it says. He's also quick to ban people, which I respect. So yeah, I'm excited to watch y'all compete this weekend.
I can see that. I've never, like, seen it on a stream. Easily perceive in my head him banning people.
Oh, yeah.
If they step out of line, they get banned. Like
expeditiously, bro. He does not even think twice about it, for sure.
Yeah. He's not afraid to say anything in real life on Twitch. Like he's not afraid to say anything.
I think that's why people really are drawn to him too. Like he's just sets up his boundaries. It's fun.
He sets up his boundaries for sure. I mean, that's healthy.
He does. Yep. Good stuff. Well, I'm looking forward to the Invitational this weekend. I really enjoyed Charles's breakdown of Shiny Mark. Waited a whole week for it. It was really good. He brought it up before you got in the chat. He's like, I got to talk about Shiny Mark this week. And then you hopped on. You're like, we got to talk about LG Invitational. I was like, uh-oh. But we got them both in there, which is really good. Plus some NBA playoffs, plus Yu-Gi-Oh! As always, which is just happening more. And we got our Patreon content coming up too. We're going to be talking about fundies. What does it actually mean? Which characters are actually capable of possessing fundamentals or not? What is this? We're going to break it down. So
I'm going to go over that Cloud tweet, the Cloud backer Shield Poke tweet the Patreon episode.
Yeah, is Cloud fundies, chat?
Yeah, is Cloud fundies?
That's a
good question.
We'll see. Have a good one. Thank you.